Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're having a good Thursday. Big thanks to Sam Merrill who joined us.
Man, we got the best listeners. What are we, 10 years later? Still having pies delivered. It's awesome. And one of our favorite listeners just came by, delivered some pies. He actually got you a couple of packs of Snickers because he heard your Snickers.
Wait a minute. What do you got in there? What's that one?
It's a sea salt caramel chocolate pie.
Yeah. You chose wisely.
What did you get?
Let's see. I think the apple.
Oh.
But more importantly, the Snickers.
You got the Snickers packs.
Yes. That's what's the most important. And I think what else we got in here?
I think it's two packs
of Snickers. Oh, two packs of Snickers.
Yeah. I didn't get candy bars.
I'm going to let you just take all of this.
But I did get a good pie. Oh, you need some sugar in you. You keep that.
No, I think we're okay.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
So that's a lot of sugar that you're going to be taking in.
That's a considerable amount. All right. So saw a tweet earlier today about a potential 80-team Super League in college football.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping that we can get Stuart Mandel on tomorrow. And he can break down this piece that he put out in The Athletic. But there's things I really like about it, Scotty, and there's things I really hate about this. One of the things I don't like is this is a group. It's called the College Sports Tomorrow. It's the CST, and it's going to be familiar to people. If they're able to get their fingers, their greedy, grubby fingers in this, it'll be the new NCAA. So instead of saying NCAA regulating college football, it will be the CST regulating college football. And what the CST is it's a 20-person group. And it's got executives from universities like West Virginia and Syracuse. It's got a couple of high-ranking NFL executives. And the Philadelphia 76ers owner, David Blitzer, is a part of the CST. But the CST is the group that is trying to formulate and expand what college football currently is.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I don't like. Another thing I don't really like, but it's probably becoming a necessity. College football is going to break away from all other sports.
Yes.
It is no longer going to be associated as a university. It's not going to be, college basketball, college football. It's just college football is its own entity. It's a breakaway group because they've got antitrust laws and they've got all kinds of things that they've got to avoid and evade, and they can't do it in their current situation.
No. Look, I mean, it's just lawsuit after lawsuit at this point. And the NCAA is losing all of these lawsuits. And there's the House lawsuit that's going to cost everybody billions of dollars when that thing finally hits the fan. So this is all about trying to find a way to what can we do to stay ahead of things and make this as legal as possible. Because college football, apparently, according to numerous judges over the last few years, have been breaking a lot of, been on the wrong side of the law. And so they're taking hit after hit after hit in the court case. And finally, these universities are like, we can't do this anymore. We got to find a way to make these guys employees, have them form, unions or whatever, collective bargaining and everything else that goes along with it, because we can't, this, what we're doing now isn't sustainable.
So those are two of the things I really don't like. I don't like that greedy, grubby men are going to sink their fingers into this and own it.
Yes.
But I guess in order to separate it and grow it, then that's one of the things that just has to happen. Now, they will monitor everything from NIL to collective return to transfer portal. They'll change it to fit their narrative.
Yes.
They'll fix it They'll get it regulated so there's more of a fair and balance across the 70 teams, but it's not going to be what people really want. So the way this thing really breaks down is it's 70 teams, and what they're talking about is seven kind of regional 10-team regions or conference groups. And then there's going to be another 10-team conference group that makes up the official 80. Now, what's crazy is they've heard all of the conversation, and they've heard the fans talk about it, and they are going to try to implement relegation.
Yes.
I think that that's an effort for them to really get their hands on this product and be like, hey, see, look, we hear what everybody wants, so we are making a relegation league. There will be 10 teams in that league, and you can relegate up and down. Now, there's going to be guarantees to the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Florida States that they'll never be relegated out of the big boys group. But there are teams that will be designated that can relegate out of those groups.
Well, so there will be a lower tier, which is made up of over 50 teams. And then so
that's the relegation.
That's so there's essentially two tiers. You got 80 and 50. So those are your 130 teams. So you got your 80, that's the high tier, and then you got your 50, and then 10 can move up and 10 can move down. So that's, I mean, well, okay, I guess you should say 70 and 60, honestly, because, you know, you've got that fluctuation of 10 that's going to go from the upper tier and 10 that's going to go down to the lower tier. And that can change from year to year.
But that will never be the Notre Dame's. That'll never be the big boys. It'll be what's currently the group of five.
Yes.
Is what they'll work through some relegation tactics.
Correct.
Which I also think is going to be difficult. But then that's telling everybody that's a part of this, hey, you're all separating. You're all going to be separate, and you're all going to have to conform to whatever this new system is in place. So I think that's going to be tough. The way they want to work this is it will now go from what we're going to be finding as a 12-team playoff is going to go to a 16-team playoff. This is under the format that has been proposed by this CST. It'll be a 16-team playoff. And what they would do is take the eight divisional champions that will fill eight spots, and then they will take another eight wild card spots to plug in to the 16-team playoff. That's kind of the way they want to work it. But that's what college football could potentially look like. Now, this is all proposal. It's all conversation. It's all just a bunch of really big business minds that are sitting in a room together saying, how can we get even more rich?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what's a need? I mean, one of the best ways to get rich in this world, the best way to get rich in this world is to say, what's the need? And then fulfill the need.
Yeah.
That's what this 20-person group is currently doing.
Well, and again, I hate it. On multiple levels. I like it on multiple levels, but here's why ultimately I like it and I hope it happens is because I'm tired of the world we're living in right now. I'm tired of unlimited transfers. I'm tired of the haves and the have-nots trying to at least pretend like they're all on the same playing field because they're not. They're just not. Utah State and Alabama are in two different stratospheres, okay? Utah and Alabama are in two different stratospheres. But if you are able to bring together a system where there is revenue sharing with players, there's collective bargaining agreements, then you can start signing contracts so that guys can't hop teams at any given moment and leave unlimited amount of times, and that there's a structure in place, then I'm all for it, because this, what we're living in right now, Hans, is a mess, and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I just want some stability in college athletics in some way, shape, or form. I want, for a kid who signs his name on a dotted line on a national letter of intent, that that's where he's going to go play. And if he wants to go somewhere else, that there's consequences for it, because that's a big boy action. And when you and I sign our name on a contract with Bonneville that we're going to work there, we can't just jump up and leave and go somewhere else the next day without major consequences, because that's the world we live in. Right now, there's no consequences for those things because there's no structure in place. I want kids, when a national letter of intent is signed, that it means something, that it's got value to it, and that it stands up.
Well, in this new CST world, it would be that.
Yes, exactly. And so I just want structure. I know that there's going to be teams that are going to be angry about it. I know that there's going to be a separation that's going to hurt. But I also think it would be good for a lot of these group of five schools to just be able to realize, okay, this is who we are. This is where we're at. And instead of bankrupting their school and trying to build facilities that they'll never fill or stadiums that they'll never fill, and just realize, okay, this is who we are. So let's try to be really good and try to be upgraded into that next level.
Yeah.
Colorado State is in a world of hurt financially because they built a stadium thinking that they would be in a Power 5 conference. They're never going to be in a Power 5 conference. It's never going to happen. San Diego State might get a chance someday, but they built a stadium that they can't afford, and nobody goes to their games because nobody cares about college football in San Diego. So it's just a mess. So let's just put some structure in place. Let's roll with this. I like it. I actually like it. Let's do it. Let's go, and let's move on and leave this misery that we're all dealing with right now behind us.
It's going to make a lot of people – it's going to make a group of people extremely rich, and it is going to regulate. And you'll just see shifting of money. There's a couple of things that are of note with this. Number one, if it is a 70-team league, I think that does ensure BYU and Utah to
yes.
be a part of it.
Well, I mean, they essentially, according to the story, originally, you know, to start off, it will be all of the Power 5 teams, including Notre Dame. So essentially, yes, it will.
It ensures that,
They'll be a part of it. Now, you can be relegated for sure really quickly, but right out of the gate, BYU and Utah absolutely look like they're part of the big boy table.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, what this is going to do is it's going to push the cheaters back into the shadows.
Yes.
So
they'll still be there.
Right now, the cheaters are out in the open.
Yeah.
And they're able to conduct unsavory business right out in the open. And it's ugly. And I've hated it. And what it'll do is it'll force those guys back into the shadows. What they need to make sure they do is they've got to hand down heavy penalty if you find the cheaters. Because this will force some form of consistency across the teams. It will. This is our transfer portal rules. These are the max NIL numbers that you can pay. This is how your collective can work. And if you work outside of those, this is your penalty. That penalty needs to be stiff. Mm-hmm. Because I even know in the world of professional sports, I know there's cheating. I know of a couple of contracts that went outside of what was made public and what the player and the organization signed up for, and I know something that went beyond it. And if I know of a couple, that means that there's probably quite a few. And that'll be more difficult with the college football player.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to a college football player and say, hey, just so you know that this 10 years past your eligibility, this is how we're going to structure this. You're going to be making $250,000 a year for the next 10 years after eligibility. You know, those types of things need to be shut down.
Yeah.
And need to be paid attention to, because nothing will change. There will always be cheaters finding a way to cheat. So even if the CST reforms this, we will see some more consistency across the board. It'll just be nice to know that the cheaters are forced back into the shadows.
Yes. Yep. And when you get to a revenue sharing opportunities, you try, maybe there's a cap in place in terms of NIL and collective to try to level the playing field a little bit. It just brings a certain amount of, like, we can all take a deep breath. Now, hopefully, I don't know what this means for college basketball, but I'd like to see some structure in college basketball too. I don't know if we'll have that on the horizon or what that might look like, but if we can get football under control and then figure out a way to control basketball, then let's go. But I also think that a lot of these schools are like, hey, look, we understand where the bread is buttered. It's football. NCAA, you can stick around and you can still host your tournament and we'll still be a part of that and keep that. That's great. And we'll figure out basketball down the line, but football's got to get fixed, and it's got to get fixed immediately.
It does. And, you know, the way I look at this with college football, the on-field product is just a beautiful product. I mean, it's incredible. And it has just needed high-level, intelligent organization.
Yep.
And this College Sports Tomorrow, this 20-person group that's come together, and I don't know them all by name. I just know like guys like David Blitzer,
yeah.
and I know one of the top NFL executives.
Gordon Gee is involved, who's got a lot of Utah ties.
Yeah, Gordon Gee is involved. And I'm trying to remember the name of the NFL executive. Oh, man, he's a long-time big name in the NFL front offices, and he's a part of this group. They'll come together and they'll figure this out. And the way I look at this, it's like if McDonald's was just on the fritz. McDonald's was losing business and that the wheels were coming off of it, and a big organization that understands distribution and understands pricing and understands how to get the food and where to get the food and how to deliver the food, and they come in and they just clean up the whole organization, the whole thing, and they get McDonald's right back on track. That's what college football is right now. It just needs organization.
Yep.
Do I like every aspect of this? No.
Nope.
No. You know, for me, this is a lot like just my political standing. It's like I'm not a big politics guy, but I don't align where everybody else wants me to align or things that I align on. I'm kind of all over the place. Nothing's going to be perfect with one group or the other for me. But at least we can come together and get something we can all enjoy, watch, and agree upon. Because I'm with you, man. I don't want to see a guy in his fifth year of eligibility on his fourth university. I think that's bad for him.
Yes.
You know, I'd like to think that there is something to the consistency of staying where you're at and not buying into the grass is always greener. I think it sets you up for life a little bit. But I do know there have been a lot of kids whose positions have improved as they've transferred. I would say the opposite for probably more than
– Oh, yeah.
There's probably been more negative than there has been positive.
There's been a ton of kids who have been told by bad people, hey, you get in that portal and we're going to find a great home for you. And then they lose their scholarship. And their life is over.
Yeah.
They're back living with mom and dad.
Or they go into the FCS and take nothing.
Yep. All right. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope to hear from Stuart Mandel, who has a lot of the details on this coming up on tomorrow's show. We'll break it down a little bit more. All right. Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray's where we're at. Rich is hanging out with us. Rich, we're going to role play here for a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Let's say, I'm driving up here. I'm listening to the show. I'm mad at what Hans and Scotty are saying, so I'm going to come in there and give them a piece of my mind because I don't agree with what they're saying. But I'm in a vehicle that I don't like. I'm in a I can't really afford, but I've got some dings on the credit, and so there's no way you can help me out. I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and find a way to make that monthly note till it's paid off. I hate it. It feels like it's going to break down on me at any given moment, and I'm miserable in my experience. What can you do to help me out?
Come into my emergency room right now.
You've got it. It's always open.
Yeah, that's a critical case right there. You just need to come see me. There's not, after 30 years in the business, there is nothing we can't handle here. I got a beautiful staff of people that can handle any problem. So,
and probably nothing you haven't seen either.
Of course not. I've seen every single thing you could possibly see in that amount of time. I've sold tens of thousands of cars.
Wow.
You know, so me being the leader of this group here, all my guys are well-versed in all this stuff. And I've got 20 people here that handle different things and can handle any kind of problem that comes up. I have 150 new. I have 250 used. You want an inexpensive car that's under $10,000. You want to get something for $70,000 and get a great deal on it, or $80,000 or $90,000. I've got them all. You want a car that doesn't use gas. I got two different types of cars for that. Plus, in my used car inventory, I got Teslas. Who doesn't love those?
Ooh, there you go.
We love them too. You know, used.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know about a new one, though. I wouldn't go down that road.
But a used one. But a used one.
But a used one, I'd say come in and, get the savings on them. We know them inside out because we've been selling EVs for much longer than anybody in the industry. You know, we started selling them in 2011. And so we know them well. And so beat the gas prices with that technology. And then, you know, like for Scotty, for the situation you were bringing up where it looks like it's a I've been to other dealerships, and they can't help me. Well, they come in here, I help them,
yeah.
And I take care of them because we have the ability to do it. Not all stores do. You got to have the right people. You got to have the right experience, and you have to have the right connections to make that happen.
The right financing flexibility.
Right financing flexibility, yeah. And we got that. We got the muscle. Okay, we are the Marines of the car business.
I love it.
When the time's getting tough, you send in the Marines.
Yep.
And you go to them for protection. Come on in.
Let's go. And that's the thing. You know, Rich, we've had you on the air for years now, and we've gotten to know you and your staff. And we know that, look, if you're coming in and you're a little embarrassed of your situation, whatever that might be, just know you've seen worse.
Let Dr. Rich handle it. Just tell me what's going on. You're right. I've seen it all. And honestly, if we can't do something, we're not going to keep you here all day trying to tell you you can't. We're going to get you in. We're not going to just send you away, hey, we can't do it. We're going to send you away with a plan.
I love that.
Okay, can't do it today. You need to do this and this. Come back and see me in a month, and we'll get it done.
I love it.
Okay, because we know how to solve problems.
4528 South State Street is Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Rich is here to help you out. They've got great options on these brand new Nissans as well. You got to check them out. It's right here on 97.5 KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Can we just wait on the transfer portal till the end of the college basketball season?
That's the boot.
Can we start
Absolutely not.
On April 15th, once the season is over?
How are these players expected to go on? If they're forced for an extra minute.
Can we have some logic of not opening the transfer portal in the middle of the season?
Absolutely not.
In the middle of the most important stretch of basketball?
Not a chance.
Please.
Ben, why do you hate players? This is what people have been saying to me for years. Why do you hate players? He's an American who can go wherever he wants.
Absolutely, you can. When the transfer portal opens, guess what the NCAA controls? The transfer portal and the dates.
Stop
hating. So just control it. This is another area where the NCAA tournament has had opportunities to put on some red tape, some guidelines to make this thing make a little bit of sense.
This is America. No one can control me. You could be control. Look at that. Look at the language you use.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is your Jazz at 30 update on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is your Jazz at 30 update right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Bryce Sensabaugh, big night, even in a loss, as the Jazz have now lost 10 in a row. But Will Hardy likes the way he's finding balance between shooting the threes and the mid-range.
I think Bryce has a real gift. We don't want him to fall into the trap of only shooting mid-range jumpers or only hunting mid-range jumpers. I think, obviously, tonight he had a great balance, 14 shots, 9 of them were threes. I think he's done a much better job lately of picking his spots when to shoot those shots.
That is your Jazz at 30 update right here on 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone. Remember, you have better things to do than to scramble to find your next great hire, so Sperion Staffing is here to help. Visit them online at Sperion.com/Utah. That's Sperion.com/Utah.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is your good, it is your bad, it is your ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hands, I don't know. There's nothing a lot good about this story, but there is some clarification going on right now, because there were a lot of reports coming out of Idaho that there was no proof whatsoever of any racial slurs being made towards the University of Utah women's basketball team. Well, police investigating the allegations say that they have now found an audio recording in which the use of racial slurs are clearly audible. The Coeur d'Alene Police Department said in a Wednesday post on Facebook that it is working to determine the context and conduct associated with the slurs being used, but that they are reviewing the evidence that they have found I don't know if this came from a cell phone or if it came from, you know, surveillance video or what, but they've collected about 35 hours of video from businesses in the area, and they have found that video and audio corroborate what members of the basketball team reported. Police say detectives are working to locate any additional evidence and get information on suspects. Detectives are also trying to identify a silver vehicle that was in the area at the time.
Okay, so if you've ever wondered why I lose my mind on false reporting, it's because of this exact reason. Because when it really happens to people, then we got to second guess it. Then we got to question it. Because there's always going to be liars.
Yeah.
You know, they went over every bit of film they could at that BYU volleyball game to find the fan that yelled the racial the racial name at I won't name the university because it was Duke.
Yeah.
And they went over every bit of film. They asked every fan and they could not find the evidence. That type of false reporting is damaging. It's the same with false accusations on sexual assault or rape. I want those false allegations, I want those handled swiftly, because what this forces everybody to do is second guess everything that comes down the line. And it's hard because it's happened so many times falsely. Now you're like, well, yeah, prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it, because we aren't going to be a part of the false narrative anymore. We're not just going to sit here and take haymakers because somebody wanted to prove a point about our volleyball team or our community or you as an individual, or somebody wanted to tear down your name. And so it's all that falsehood that brings up these kinds of questions. And in today's world, Scotty, we know that there's enough video out there. There's enough audio. There's enough cell phones. There's enough business with audio video recording that we'll find you.
Yes.
Or we can find no evidence and discredit you. But nowadays, it's hard to have an allegation without some type of evidence, some type of video or audio evidence. But here's the difference. This is the problem. When Lynn Roberts sat at that media booth and had that look on her face and stumbled through the words a bit and couldn't believe it, I was aghast for Lynn Roberts.
Yes.
I adore her. I think she's an incredible coach. I think that she is absolutely fantastic at what she does. And when she looked scrambled,
yes,
it scrambled me.
Yep.
So I just know where those accusations came from. They knew they weren't going to be false. It just sucks because in modern day world, everybody demands proof, and I'm glad that they found some.
There's some characters out there that when things happen, you're like, yeah, I don't know. And you and I were talking off the air.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some people out there that when they make accusations, you're like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I'm not saying something didn't happen, but you might be a little exaggerated. When Lynn Roberts got to that podium and started talking, I'm like, that something happened and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real bad because Lynn's not going to, we, you know, she's been on the show a bunch of times. I have nothing but utmost respect for her.
She's really great.
And just talking to the new coach at Utah State who was on her staff, how glowingly did he talk about Lynn Roberts?
Yeah.
She is loved by everybody who's been come in contact with her, and to see her show those kind of emotions, it's like, oof, something bad went down. And I'm glad that we no longer have to second guess, or not we, but like some people out there, like the guy that was at the press conference, like, well, what law was broken? It's like, come on, buddy. No, they don't need to justify their emotional reaction to you as to what happened. They witnessed it. They endured it. And now that there's proof of it.
Well, the tough thing was that the Lynn Roberts comments came after a loss. And so people wanted to discredit it because of that. Oh, you're making excuses. Oh, you had a hard time with where you stayed. Oh, this. And it's like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
Nope.
If that happened to my team, hey, look, it's going to get ugly real fast. You know, Scotty, one of the times I've been the most scared in my life And I'm talking probably one of the top five times in my life. I was just newly married, and I was being courted by a agency out of San Francisco. And he flew me and my wife into San Francisco and put us up in the W Hotel, right down by the like, just beautiful.
Stayed there. I know exactly where you're at. Yep.
Beautiful hotel.
Yep.
So my wife and I, we're sitting there. We're like, you know what? Pizza sounds good. At the time, I'm 310 pounds. I was afraid of nothing. So I went down to the concierge and I said, we want pizza. Where's pizza? And he said, well, there's actually a really good pizza place. It's about four blocks down. And it's really good. And I said, all right, we'll walk. He goes, don't do that. I said, no, we'll walk. Like, I'm 310 pounds. I'm not worried about anything. We start walking down this street. And this dude, he rides by on a bike. And he said, you must be two of the dumbest white MFers I've ever seen. And it was the most scared I've ever been in my life. I thought, we're in a bad spot here. We're in a bad, really bad position here. And that fear is real. So when these girls come out and they're like, hey, when this guy drives by and he yells the N-word and he's got this truck, and I know that fear that was driven into them, and it's a scary moment and it shakes you. There's no question about it.
Yeah. All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I don't know what this is.
So here's the deal. The basketball thing, the three-point shooting contest, the Utah Jazz, and the car.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's Andy Larson that's been breaking this down. He kind of got to the bottom of it. What this comes down to, it's a two-year lease.
Hey, that's 2 years that he didn't have.
Yeah, it's 2 years he didn't have, and it's 2 years that were almost taken away from him.
Yeah.
When he shot the ball. The other thing I saw Andy was talking about was the details of it. I guess the clock did expire, but the buzzer didn't go off.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's why they declared it a non-shot, because the clock expired. But I thought Andy said it well. Like, you shoot by the buzzer.
Yeah.
The buzzer's the official, right?
Yep. What do they say? Go till you hear the whistle, right?
Yeah. And the buzzer went late, according to the shot clock. But they're going to honor it, and it is a two-year lease that he gets. Not a free car, a two-year lease. Because you see the free car half-court shot, and it's big. And a free car is different than a two-year lease. Because then you own something.
Yeah.
At the end of the 2 years, you got nothing. But that's fine. But it's 2 years of car usage. That probably equates to, $250 a month.
Oh, what world are you living in?
The kind of car they're leasing.
What is it?
We're not talking about your Mazda.
I don't want to go into it. But
oh, okay.
It's probably $250 a month.
I don't think you can get any car for $250 a month.
Yeah, when we were talking to Mazda, remember, you could go on a $200.
Yeah. All right, hands and Scotty. 97.
You know there's $250 leases out there. It's just, it comes with short mileage.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
All right, well, the University of Connecticut, their basketball team, was supposed to get on a charter yesterday and get out to Phoenix for the Final Four. Well, they show up at the airport and guess what? Plane issues. So they wait.
Oh, yeah.
They were supposed to leave at 6 o'clock on Wednesday.
It's a bad deal.
Then it was delayed until 11:30 because of mechanical issues. Then it was until 1 a.m. And then finally, by the time they got into Phoenix, they got into Phoenix about 3:15 a.m. Phoenix time, which is about, on their clock, 6:15 a.m. So in their minds, because they're coming from back east, that's 6 o'clock Eastern that they finally get in to Phoenix. The NCAA was scrambling to find other planes, trying to find other ways to help out. The flight was, again, dealing with mechanical issues. And then that leads to staffing issues because pilots can only be available for so many times. I can't tell you. That's the issue I've ran into so many times on planes where it gets delayed. It's like, okay, well, we got the mechanical issue, but now we got to bring in a new pilot. We're like, no, what about that pilot? Well, you know, FAA regulations say that he can only be on duty for so many hours, and now he's exceeded that. So we got to scramble to find a new pilot, and it's just a bunch of dominoes fall, and it's ridiculous. And so UConn, now here's the thing. UConn's not playing tomorrow or today. They're not playing tomorrow. They're not playing till Saturday. They'll be fine. They're a bunch of 19 to 22-year-old kids. They'll be okay. It's not going to, you know, cause many issues that way, but – there's nothing worse, Hans, than sitting on a plane waiting for mechanical issues. Now, I'm sure they let them off the plane, but you can't go for very
further. Are you sure, though?
Yeah, but, oh, no, maybe not. Maybe not.
Because I know of a couple of situations, instances, even with the University of Utah, their football team.
Oh, I look.
In one instance in particular, that was really bad.
We had a situation on a charter where they let us off. You couldn't leave. Like the airport, but they're like, you can go to this section of the airport and sit on some couches and stuff like that. And it was similar. It was about a 4 or 5 hour delay. But here these guys are going to their biggest moment of their playing lives, and they are delayed and delayed and delayed.
Put yourself in the coach's shoes.
Oh, I'd be beyond upset. Beyond upset.
You're like, we're going to play Caitlin Clark.
Oh, this is the men's team.
Oh, this is UConn men's team.
Men's team, yeah.
Because both the men's and women's are in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Here we are, the number one overall seed. We got everything going in our favor. And we get grounded. As a coach?
I'd be hot.
Well, first of all, I would be thinking of all the conspiracies. I would be asking, okay, what... what school did the pilot go to?
It says here he went to NC State.
He's got an NC State hat on, so wouldn't you? I'd be full of conspiracies, like something is happening here. I don't like what's happening here.
Yep.
And I would try to get to the bottom of every possible thing I could.
Bad deal. Bad deal. All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News, and then we'll kick off your 2 o'clock hour. I believe, is Timmy still coming on at 2:05? I didn't know if with all the singing and the collabs that you and Timmy were doing earlier today, Lloyd, if you actually got him on the books or not.
So. He is a talented man. Yes, he's coming on at 2:05.
Okay. We'll chat with Tim Lacombe coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome Big T Thurl Bailey back to the show.
Taylor Hendricks has really had an interesting position, right? You're talking the 9th pick in the draft, and with that comes a lot.
There's a long way to go to match the player I'm about to say, but ask for a best-case scenario to comp for him, given his size, his athletic ability. Scottie Pippen.
I don't think there's really a great comparison between those two right now. There's some similarities, some things that Taylor Hendricks can get to be that type of player. I actually think that he can be a better defender than Scottie. I think he can. I think he has a potential to be a better defender than Scottie Pippen was. It remains to be seen, but I see the potential in it. I would reserve the comparisons with Scottie Pippen right now. Give him a couple years.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
From Scotty, 97.5, DKSL Sports Zone. Hey, make sure to nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nominations at kslsports.com/contest, and then listen every Thursday afternoon. We'll have another one today with JJ and Alex for the winner. It's all on our way to help celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, hands you.
I thought you were going to do it.
Hercules, Hercules.
It's always my favorite part of that read. I wait for it every time. Hercules, Hercules,
Hercules, Hercules. I love that movie. All right, you ready after the show to hop on over to Wyoming? Maybe make a trip up to North Idaho or go up to Idaho? Because the Powerball jackpot has now increased to $1.23 billion. Okay. They announced the numbers last night. They were 11, 38, 41, 62, 65. Powerball was 15. Nobody hit it.
How many numbers do you have to match exactly?
I think you have to match all six.
Okay, so there's six total?
Yeah.
That's including the Powerball.
I think so, yeah. It is now the eighth largest in U.S. lottery history. It has been growing for more than 3 months. Your odds are now $1 in $292.2 million of winning the top prize. Still better than having a perfect bracket in the NCAA tournament.
So nearly $1 in $300 million.
Correct.
To win it.
To win it.
That's not terrible.
The last jackpot winner was January 1st. There's been 40 consecutive drawings without anybody matching all six numbers. Now, there's been a bunch of, smaller prizes. You know, you hit four or five.
Yeah, they take chunks out.
You can get $2 up to $2 million. Now, if somebody does win at $1.23 billion, you can choose to be paid through an annuity with 30 annual payments. But pretty much everybody goes with the cash option, which
Can I guess?
Sure.
$680 million.
Close. $595. So if you take the cash out offer, it's 595, which you got to imagine. So let's just round it up to six. After the taxes, you're going to walk away with $300 million. That's not bad.
By the way, the winner never comes from Idaho or Wyoming. This never happens.
That's true.
It never happens. The winner never comes. The ticket never comes from Idaho or Wyoming.
This is what I could promise you guys. Nobody will know if I won it. Like, nobody will know.
Oh, yeah, same.
But as the saying goes, there would be signs.
Well, agree? We're under agreement, right? That we're flipping each other.
Me, you.
We've got a gentleman's agreement.
You know, all I would ask if you won the lottery, I don't even want, if you wanted to slip me a cool mill, that'd be fine. I mean, if you're $300 million, you could spot me a mill, right?
It wouldn't kill you.
But I would just say, just pay off my house.
Yeah. Just pay off the house. Paying off your house is different than paying off Lloyd's house.
But. Yeah.
But let's say, I don't even know if I'd tell you guys. I would just have you pay your mortgage on the month, and then they would refund it, and you'd be like, what? And you would just find all this joy and adulation, and you would just be happy.
Yeah.
And you're right. You would never know if hands won, because we would, get out to lunch, and you'd be like, so are you buying?
No, you'd buy lunch.
Of course, if I won the Powerball. You said it's $1.2
billion? $1.2 billion right now. But again, cash out is about $600 million.
You're still pulling the BOGO on me. I guarantee it.
We're buying a golf course, Lloyd. The three of us are buying Sherwood.
Let's go.
Bringing back the nine holes up in Sardine.
Absolutely. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray is where you need to be at. That's where Hans and I are right now. We want you to come by. We got all kinds of candy. We got Snickers bars. We still got the Kit Kats. We got the Twix. You name it. Come on by. We'll give you some candy. And we have a chance to win tickets. And more importantly, you have a chance to get into a vehicle that Rich, you know you're going to love. It's going to be on the road for a long time because it's got that Tim Daly warranty. And you're going to be at a price point where you can afford it, too.
Isn't that nice? And there's just a myriad of new programs now for financing these cars that make it absolutely acceptable and the right time to commit and take a look and see about changing yours out. And let's just take a second to talk about the trades. Everybody loves getting the top dollar for their trade. Mm-hmm. And we're used to doing that. We know that. And we want to be open to the suggestions from our people that come by, what they're hoping to get for their car, and we do our darndest to get them where they need to be. It's important for them. You know, the cars are worth a lot of money, even if they've got miles on them, because we have a wonderful facility here with 37 bays, to take care of these trades that come in, get them up to speed, and put them back out on the lot. And sometimes we have clients here that will come in with cars that aren't worth a whole lot.
Yeah.
They've got way too many miles. It's been a long time. But every single car you bring in here is worth money. And it's worth the down payment. Sometimes that can make the difference from getting a car for our client because they have a trade.
Yeah.
And we respect that. We're not here to insult anybody with the kind of values that we can come up. And we're the type of store we'll actually sit down and consult with you on the value of your car. We're not just going to come out and throw a number at you and expect you to just lay down for it. That's not how we roll. We've been here for 55 years. We take care of families here. Generations.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, there's TV shows that call Generations.
Yeah.
We should be in. We should be on that.
Well, let's circle back to what you really hit out of the park early on. You get that Leaf for $8,500 off right now. Rebates that are just ridiculous on that brand new Leaf that everybody's walking by. Hans and I are just disgusted when we drive by a gas station because that number keeps climbing. And we're not even remotely close to Memorial Day yet. So who knows how high that thing's going to skyrocket. You can avoid all of that with one of these new Leafs.
That's right. I mean, some people are spending $300 a month on gas.
Easy.
$200. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
$400. Well, that bill's gone. And, hey, how about if I write you a check for $8,500 to grab one of these Leafs that you never have to go into a gas station again? It's a great car. We've been selling it since 2011. They'll go over 200 miles on a charge. I think some of them are 250 miles now, 260 miles on a charge. It's an absolutely incredible machine. And once you drive one, you'll never go back.
Well, and if you're worried about, if you've never driven one, you're like, well, you know, that'd be nice to not pay gas bill, but what kind of power does it have? Hans and I are not small human beings. And we got into that Leaf, and that sucker got up and go. I mean, that sucker's got the power to make it happen.
Well, if you've never been in an electric vehicle, all the torque goes right to the wheel. There's no loss of torque, like a gasoline engine. I'm not going to get too technical here, but, you know, to get the horsepower to the wheel, it takes some doing. But not on an electric vehicle. It's all right to the wheel. It's all right now. When you hit that accelerator, oh, goodbye.
It's pickup.
Goodbye. We're gone. Are we there already?
Yeah.
Wow. That was fast.
It's pickup.
4528 South State Street is Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Come on down. Let's go, folks. Tim Lacombe joins us next right here on 97.5.